I know that rules are important. I know that we can't live in a world without law. But there is a balance that is called for in the Christian life. It seems to me that sometimes we run the risk of worshiping the law instead of the reason that exists behind the law. There is a tendency in Christianity these days to portray our faith as a faith where people toe the mark, do the right thing, follow the law. Now, I know that part of that is true, but I think we are also in danger of espousing a kind of Pharisaical Christianity that Jesus would not recognize. It is a quandary for us where to find the proper balance. I have observed that in times of great change and anxiety, there is a part of the human heart that longs for certainty and structure. I believe that this is true in our personal lives. I have often witnessed people becoming more bound to rules when their personal lives are beset by chaos. I believe this to be true in our social lives as well. I have experienced how our culture becomes more rules conscious and more focused on law and order in times of great social flux and upheaval. I believe this to be true in the church as well. I have lived through times when the challenge of speaking to a modern and increasingly secular world has turned the church toward efforts to enforce theological orthodoxy and moral purity. I believe it is fair to say that change is disturbing to us. Our first reaction is to find a way to reinforce the status quo. And so we grab onto our faith and we say, the purpose of our faith is that God might bless things the way they are and the way that we feel comfortable. Even when we know that things as they are is killing us. Witness our present resistance to changing the way we consume energy in this culture, even though we are learning firsthand that it could very well kill us. When it comes to the issue of change, even the most perfunctory reading of Scripture quickly reveals that God cares little for the status quo that we have constructed. If God was a God of the status quo, then Moses would have marched down to Egypt and declared, "Let my people quit complaining." If God was a God of the status quo, then Samson would have taken himself to a barbershop. If God was the God of the status quo, then David would never have challenged Saul. And if God was a God of the status quo, then Jesus of Nazareth would have remained a humble carpenter, quietly keeping the Jewish law until the day he died. Paul's letter to the Galatians illustrates this ongoing tension between our God, who calls us into a new day of living, and our human, and I would say sinful, desire to equate God with things just the way we like them. In Galatia, the issue was the spread of the gospel out into the Gentile world. Paul was of the mind that the gospel was for everyone, all of God's creation. But the Christians in Jerusalem, under Peter's leadership, persisted in regarding the gospel as good news for those who happened to already be Jews. They grudgingly allowed the spread of the gospel into the larger Greco-Roman world, but they maintained a caveat. You could accept the gospel and become a Christian if you are a part of that Gentile world, as long as you first became a Jew and obeyed all of the Jewish law. No exceptions. So Galatians is the place where we come face to face with a fundamental biblical truth. No matter how much we want it to, the gospel declares the good news of God's salvation through Jesus the Christ, and not the questionable news that salvation lies in keeping things just the way they are and asking God to bless our comfort zone. This has always been a biblical message, clear, profoundly clear, to the poor, the oppressed, and exceedingly difficult for the comfortable, the powerful, and the affluent to hear. The Christian life is about knowing ourselves and all people to be children of God. It is about coming to live ever more completely as God intended in the first place. It is about dying to the old life of division and hatred and privilege and being born to a new life where Jesus Christ, the Prince of Peace, lives through us. To the Jewish Christians from Jerusalem, who wanted the gospel to affirm their position of privilege and power, Paul declares a firm no. And lest anyone misunderstand, he declares that if knowing God depends upon keeping the law, that is, upon keeping the status and position already established, then Christ died for nothing. On July 1st, we will begin our 8th year together as pastor and congregation. Now, I'm still having fun after all this time, and I am profoundly grateful for the opportunity to continue serving this wonderful congregation and to be a part of what I believe to be one of the finest staffs I have ever served with. And we are determined that this year will be a year we are calling the Church on the Move, Methodist on the Move. This summer, we will enjoy some new things that put the church back in the position of primary community for its members and for friends. Vacation Bible School is ready to roll. Kids Discovery Network will follow right on the heels of Vacation Bible School. The Youth Mission Week is ready to go. We will attend a Tiger baseball game together. We will hold a Vesper worship service while cruising on the St. Clair River on the Huron Lady. The 1st of September, we will host the mobile food pantry for the second time. An all-church family retreat at Lake Louise is now taking reservations, and I've got to get a letter out about that this next week. I have made contact. This was happy for me. I've made contact with the Albion College Choir, now under a new director. And we are looking for an appropriate date to bring them here, either in concert or for worship with us in the coming year. We continue to reach out in mission, not just the nomads as you heard about today, but I know that Mel Scott is deep into plans trying to figure out how and when to return to Haiti. Bible study and faith development classes resume again in the fall. How I enjoy those things. And there's an adult component coming up to our Vacation Bible School. I hope you'll join me in that study. I believe that we should plan boldly that we should prepare courageously for vital and exciting ministry, not just in the months ahead, but for all of the years before us. I have no desire to work hard just to maintain the status quo. We should not be planning just to keep things going for another year. That's not why God put us here. We did not receive the gospel for nothing, but received it in order that we might become the living presence of Christ in this location. Our charge is to effect change so that the world will become a more Christ-like place. Our call is to live together as a community of faith so that real and profound transformation takes place within our own hearts and within the hearts of those we welcome into our community. And I pray that neither you nor I will be foolish enough to believe that God has somehow come simply to bless those things with which we already feel comfortable. I think we should live with a little godly lawlessness. Now, don't get me wrong, rules have their place. I am comforted when I get behind the wheel of my car and start down the right-hand side of the road that I need not worry that someone else has decided that they, that morning, prefer to drive on the left-hand side of the road. Rules allow us to live in community without hurting one another. They allow community to function in some kind of equitable way. But we should never mistake the rules for God. God is far more mysterious than that, and God's purpose goes way beyond being a divine rule keeper. Are we living as God wants us to live? Or are we seeking only to protect our little piece of comfort? Because of Christ, there is no longer Jew nor Greek, there is neither slave nor free, there is neither male nor female, which was Paul's way of saying that we are all in this together. Do we really think that we were put here to protect things just the way they are? Or could it be that God expects more of us than just to be keepers of the status quo? I know this, change is not easy. Change disturbs us. But I also know another thing. Resisting change is delusional. Confronting change as people convinced of God's love and purpose for us is our only hope. Thanks be to God.